Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Real Talks. I'm your host, David Steele. I'm sorry about the little late starting time, but we had some really cool news that just came across the wire that I wanted to bring to you guys. And that's exactly what we're going to start with, breaking news. So, as everybody knows, there was a movie that opened last week, and it was Creed 3. And Creed 3 is just smashed the box office. And it was actually, and I'm going to use the term, and I've used it a couple, it's a pun, a knockout. I really enjoyed it. So according to Variety, and this literally came across in the last hour or two, MGM and Amazon are going to be, Michael B. Jordan is going to be spearheading the Creedverse and works at Amazon across film and television. This is huge. Creed has already broken ground for Amazon, which is in the latest installment of the MGM franchise. Creed 3 racking up $100 million global opening and setting a box office record for the tech giant. Now, Creed could spawn an Amazon universe spanning both film and television. There have been meetings with the franchise star and filmmaker Michael B. Jordan about various Creed-related projects for the past year, sources say. The plans are to scope out the universe and have gotten bolder in the wake of Creed 3's big debut. Reps for Amazon and Jordan are declining comment. Details are still sketchy, but some of the conversations are exploratory stages, but we hear an anime series connected to the Rocky spinoffs is in the works. And there's ideas of for a companion series television live action series. Also is a potential project centering on Adonis's Creed daughter, Amara, who's played by actress Mila Davis-Kent in Creed 3, making her film acting debut, and I don't doubt she's got a huge career ahead of her. As previously reported, there has been a Drago series spinoff in the works for MGM's, written by Robert Lawton. The film would center around Rocky Balboa's foe, Russian boxer Ivan Drago, played by Dolph Lundgren, and his son Victor Drago, who was introduced as Creed's adversary in Creed 2. There has been some chatter that Drago offshoot could lend itself to a series, but according to sources, the intention remains to keep it as a movie. So far, a script has been commissioned, but is unclear whether it will get made. Of course, there are the prospects of more Creed future installments, with various other ideas also being thrown around for live action and anime series. Jordan told Deadline last week at the Creed 3 premiere that, quote, building the Creed universe is something I'm really excited to do, end quote. Through three movies, the Creed franchise is approaching $500 million in the global box office. Building a Creed universe could be a test showcasing Amazon's ambitions for MGM, which acquired the company for $8.5 billion a year ago. So, essentially, they're saying that they're going to make this into a universe. Wow. How cool is that? A couple thoughts right off the top. So, number one, they're striking while the iron is hot, right? This is just pristine, premiere, right at the correct time and had a huge opening. They want to take full advantage of this, and I don't blame them. Number two, I'm excited that we're actually starting to see characters that are they're building it around Adonis Creed, right? So they're not doing it, you know, we're not getting Adonis as a kid or a prequel or anything like that. I'm glad about that. Number three, I am so happy that they're actually making this. They're sending around Amara. Kyle and I were actually having this discussion the other day about whether they could do this. And I said to him, well, do you think they could actually put this as a fourth installment? And it was up in the air, right? I mean, that would be fantastic. That being said, I think that it would be amazing to see this. Whether she goes down the road as a boxer or not, I mean, regardless. The one drawback, and I'll say this off the top, the one drawback I have of this is they're actually making it, or the possibility of it. I mean, they've commissioned a script. An Ivan Drago series. Now, I don't know about you guys out there, but I wasn't the biggest fan. I mean, I like Creed 2. Don't get me wrong. It was, you know, we did a whole spoiler cast and rewatch over it, Kyle and I. I don't know. I just it doesn't have the same feel. We got the cameo in Creed 3, and that was great. You know, he helped him train for the fight against, you know, Dane. But I have got a question about whether they're going to do it, right? Couple of other things. Does Sylvester Stallone come back, right, in these series? Because let's face it, if you're going to do an Ivan Drago series, okay, unless you're doing something about where, I mean, we know he's from Russia. Unless you're going to do something that maybe him as a kid, I don't really see a lot of story in that. Does, you know, Rocky come back for that? That's yet to be determined. A lot of stuff's yet to be determined. But I think this is great news. I think the fact that you're actually getting a Creed universe is fantastic. I would love to see a whole Bianca series, to be frank. I think that would be fabulous. You know, her growing up, her love of music, where did it come from? Who are her inspirations? I think that would be an absolute hit. It would be fabulous if Tessa Thompson came back for that. There's so many possibilities here, right? The one thing I'll say is this. I think you have to get a weight. Creed is obviously a boxing movie, right? Hell, you could even, if you wanted to, you could even bring, assuming he'd want to do it, you could even bring Carl Weathers back. I mean, the possibilities here are endless. I'm excited for this. I really, really, really am. I got to say, I said it the other day. I think they should have done something with Amara. Maybe they had this thing set up all along. Maybe they were just waiting to see what the numbers were. That's fascinating. Anyways, what do you guys think? What would you, if you were head of the, you know, running things, what series would you like to see? Do a little fan casting for me. Tell me who you'd like to see come in. If not Tessa Thompson, do you do somebody else? Would you like to see an anime series of this stuff? Leave your thoughts down in the comments and let me know what you think. Okay, so let's move on. So now I promise you one thing before we do the next couple of stories. I am not sponsored by Disney. Bob Iger just has a lot to say. Disney is one of those companies that is just, you know, it's supposed to be the happiest place in the world. And sometimes it's not. So anyways, the reason I bring this up is, according to Bob Iger, this is Deadline that wrote this. Bob Iger says Disney theme parks were priced too high in, quote, zeal to grow profit, end quote. It's, quote, a brand that needs to be accessible, end quote. So this is by Deadline, like I said. Returned Disney CEO Bob Iger acknowledged that the fans had a right to be irked that theme park prices crept higher under the previous regime, and said it wasn't the best way to manage the brand. Quote, I always believe that Disney was a brand that needed to be accessible, he told a Morgan Stanley media conference on Thursday. And I think in our zeal to grow profits, we may have been a little too aggressive about some of our pricing. And I think that there is a way to continue to grow profits, but be smarter in how we price that so that we maintain the brand value of accessibility. Iger stepped back into Disney's corner office in November after former CEO Bob Chapek left in a sudden move that ushered in a wave of changes. At theme parks, Iger made a move by January, lowering some prices and adding some perks at Disneyland and Walt Disney World. That included Walt Disney World in Orlando, resuming complimentary self-parking at resort hotels, relaxing reservation requirements for annual pass holders, and offering free photo downloads with Genie X. So the service. So I imagine that is their app type of thing. At Disneyland Anaheim, he expanded park hopping hours and added more of the lowest price day trip tickets, as well as the complimentary photos. The shifts, quote, have resonated extremely well with consumers, and we will not only continue to listen to consumers, but we will continue to adjust, end quote. He noted that the challenge of trying to improve the guest experience by reducing crowding. Moves to do that can, quote, actually end up increasing the prices or putting features into pricing that are viewed by consumers are to be a little too aggressive, end quote. And he hinted at more expansion with, quote, new capacity and new attractions, end quote, including maybe led by California and focusing on Disney IP, like the recently announced rollout to Disneyland after another Avatar experience, such as the popular Pandora, the world of Avatar at Disney World's Animal Kingdom. The prices have been a massive business for Disney and have bounced back vigorously from the COVID shutdown, even without a return to normal levels of international visitors. Iger says parks have a history of resilience, citing grim periods during the recessions of 08 and 09 and the terrorist attacks of 01. So we meant 9/11. I gotta say, it's about time. I'm not a Disneyland annual shareholder. I don't have any of their things. I like Disney products on a whole, but I don't have any of that. I'm so happy that they're finally getting back to what it was at one point, because Disney is supposed to be accessible to everybody, right? I mean, with these rides and with these attractions and everything else, the fact is that, look, you know, you go there and, you know, whatever, let's say you're going there for one ride, you know, and, you know, or two rides, and you want to get on those rides, it's booked up in seconds in their app. John Campia, actually, so somebody I follow on Twitter, well-known John Campia, has raved in anger about, railed against Disney because of all that, everything else. And he, you know, said he'll never go back to Disney again. I would be curious to see if he would change his tune now that they're starting to go back and do these things. But nonetheless, this is what Disney needed, right? I think their parks need to be accessible to everybody. I mean, don't rock bottom the prices. I mean, they're still expensive. But at the same time, make sure everybody can get in, you know. I think it's so important to have that experience and do that with your family. And look, you know, I think I went to Disneyland once in my life. I don't think I'll ever go back. Not because I had a bad experience. It's just now the prices are too damn high. That's me personally. But if you have a family, you know, there's no reason why you can't go. And I like the fact that Iger is listening to the consumers and finally getting things back on track. This is great news, just in general, because it's one of those things where these guys, Mickey and Minnie, have been the staple of this for almost 100 years. And I'm glad to see that, you know, this can definitely once again be the happiest place on earth. So it's an interesting thing. I think Disney's starting to go in the right direction. What do you guys think? Have you been to Disneyland out in California? Have you been to Disney World in Orlando? How often do you go? Are you a pass holder? If so, How often do you usually go per year? Leave us your thoughts down in the comments and let me know what you think. Okay, so let's move on to our next story. And once again, this is having to do with Disney, but this is a different twist, if you will. So the CEO, of course, as I was just speaking about, is basically, he's going to be starting to cut costs back for these projects. All of the film, television, and everything else, he's going to start cutting costs. Quality, not volume. And this is what I've been saying for a long, long time. They should have been cutting costs for a while. Because here's the thing. I would rather, and I've said it before, I would rather see five really, 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 really good projects than 10 mediocre projects. And so what he says here is that the company, Disney CEO, so this comes from The Hollywood Reporter. Disney CEO Bob Iger said Thursday that his company is closely examining all aspects of its content business across film and television as it plots the best path forward in a tricky media environment that includes a linear television business in decline, a theatrical business with an uncertain future, and a streaming business that is growing but requires a path to profitability. Speaking at the same conference, which I was just referring to, Morgan Stanley, Iger said the company will be specifically looking at how much it's spending on content and how many projects it's producing moving forward. I'm really pleased that the support I'm getting from the content creators of the company is significant and real, and it comes in the form of reducing the expense per content, whether it's a television series or a film, where costs have just been skyrocketed in a huge way. And not supportable in way, in my opinion. They all agree to that, end quote. Adding that it was about, quote, understanding how much volume we need, reducing how much we make and how much we make. So it's how much we spend on what we make and how much we make. So it's kind of a catch-22, but you can understand what he's saying. However, Iger left open the potential for making projects that the company could sell elsewhere. And as we look to reduce the content we're creating for our own platforms, there probably are opportunities to license third parties, he said. For a while, that was verbatim or something we couldn't possibly do because we were favoring our own streaming platforms. But if we get to a point where we need less content for these platforms, we still have the capability of producing that content. Why not use it to grow revenue? And that's what we would likely do, end quote. So any third-party stuff, he would just sell off to like a Netflix or an Amazon or Hulu or whatever it is. I think they own Hulu, actually, but you get the idea. He added that the core franchise content, Marvel, Star Wars, Frozen, would remain exclusive to Disney-owned platforms. Disney is very strong. The most powerful brand, certainly in family entertainment, he said, adding that when customers see the live-action Little Mermaid in May, it will, quote, remind you just how strong the brand is, end quote. But he also had frank and interesting comments about Marvel and Star Wars, suggesting that the company is carefully thinking about its approach to those brands moving forward. What we have to do, quote, this is what he said, what we have to do is look at Marvel as at Marvel is not necessarily the volume of Marvel storytelling, but how many times we go back to the well on certain characters, end quote. Sequels typically work well for us, but do you need a third or fourth, for instance? Or is it time to turn to another character? There's nothing in any way inherently off in terms of this, of the Marvel brand. I think that we just have to take a look at what characters and what stories we're mining, end quote. And if you look at the trajectory of Marvel of the next 5 years, you'll see a lot of newness, he said. Now that we're going back to the Avengers franchise, but with a whole new set of Avengers as an example. Star Wars, we made three what we call saga films, which is obviously the successor to George Lucas's first six. They did very well at the box office, tremendously well, as a matter of fact. We made two so-called standalones in Rogue One and Solo. Rogue One did quite well. Solo was a little disappointing to us. It gave us pause just to think maybe the cadence was a little too aggressive, and so we decided to pull back a little. We are still developing Star Wars films. We're going to make sure that when we make one, that it's the right one. So we are being very careful there. At a high level, Iger said that the goal was to focus on high-quality programming, calling out not only the core franchise, but also FX, which he praised as a producer of content and brand. You know, there isn't so much consumer choice. There's so much consumer choice right now that it comes to what is differentiated. And he said, there's only one obvious thing we've talked about. Is it those brands of Star Wars, Marvel, Disney, and Pixar, for example. But quality is a differentiator. So he goes on. I'm not going to read the whole thing for you guys. Basically, what he's saying is that quality over quantity. I have always said this. I've been saying this for years. I think that this is what they need. I think this is what they should do. And frankly, if this is true, this is big. Not only is it going to put more money back in their wallet, but we're not going to be getting 3 and 4 and 5 films of a certain character. Don't get me wrong. Some of them were great films. I love Thor Ragnarok. You know, it was that buddy, you know, comedic thing. Was it necessary, though? Maybe. Okay. And so I think what he's doing is just cutting the cost. All these stories, you know, we just did a stream with talking the Mandalorian spoiler cast. By the way, if you want to check that out, go check out the Mandalorian spoiler cast I just did with Sam earlier today. Talking about Star Wars projects. And I asked him, because he's a huge Star Wars guy, I said, are you fatigued? And he said, not really, you know. But the thing is that you've had so many Star Wars projects come out in the last 5 years. I mean, whether you have Mandalorian, you've got the Book of Boba Fett, you've got Andor, you've got, I know I'm missing one, you've got all these projects. You take a look at all these Marvel projects, okay, over the past 3 or 4 years, you know, whether it's the Marvel, Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Moon Knight, you know, you're going to have all these projects. You don't need them. You don't need, even if you want to put it, there is so much content on Disney Plus now, you don't need to make more. Let people enjoy what's there. So I would just say this. I like the fact that he's doing what he's doing and saying we're going to cut costs. And when we make a Star Wars movie, it's going to be the right Star Wars movie. I like this. Because that tells me he's got his head screwed on straight. He's not trying to make a whole bunch of money. That's going to take care of itself on its own. It's what kind of story. I've always, always, always impressed. Okay? That it's about the story. You can have the greatest characters in the world, but if the story is crap, okay, that's it. People are going to check out. But you can have the worst actors in the world and the greatest stories, and they can act the hell out of it, and it would be okay. It would be decent. So I think that this is the right move for Disney, and this is the right move to do that. Now, obviously, as he said, they're not going to touch the IPs of Marvel and Star Wars and Frozen and everything else, but you're not going to see a lot of unnecessary content, right? And I think this is going to be a big thing. And I like it. I like it. So, and if they can bring us better Marvel projects, I'm not saying, you know, all the other ones are bad. If they can bring us better Marvel projects than they have been for the past couple of years, fantastic. I love it. What do you guys think? Is this the right move that Iger is making? Do you think he should continue to go down the road? Or do you think they should be cutting costs? How many projects would you like to see him cut it by? Could you maybe give me a number of how many projects per year? Leave your thoughts down in the comments, and I will get back to every single one of you. Okay, time for the final story of the day. Everybody is eager to see what James Gunn is going to do. He is, I think, been the most transparent. He has been the most just well-rounded. I mean, I would say he's probably been one of the best filmmakers of the last 10 years. Okay. And that being said, James Gunn is just a very transparent guy, and he'll tell you like it is. So this comes from The Hollywood Reporter. James Gunn slams, quote, racists. And when you read or hear what I'm going to say, you'll understand why. Social media user upset by villain casting Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He says, I chose the best actor, period. So this goes to say, James Gunn is coming to the defense of his own Guardians of the Galaxy villain, High Evolutionary. On Monday, the new co-head of Disney Studios posted a picture of the actor and character on the set of the upcoming Marvel film and captured it, can't wait for you to meet this guy, end quote. An Instagram user left a lengthy comment on James Gunn's comment on Gunn's photos, stating, damn it, another white guy? They made into a black guy. Why couldn't they just leave him white? Or, I don't know, pick a different minority. How about an Asian? Or gasp, a Latino? And then in parentheses, he says, how many Latinos and Asians in the MCU? Like a total of 5? Or make him an Indian or something, because they don't and won't. That makes them woke. The user continued, next time a major character, hero or villain will be trans or non-binary when it comes to the characters, and they're not. Sad, pathetic. They're picking based on race, and what's PC is not acting in what's established. So James Gunn took it upon himself, as he should have, to fire back and say, I chose the best actor, period. And the best person for the role. I don't give a shit what ethnicity he is. So stop with your racist presumptions on why he was chosen. And by the way, he was playing a guy who's almost purple in the color. Gunn's previously worked with the actor in Peacemaker, the HBO series that spun off from the Suicide Squad, which I loved. I absolutely loved that movie. It was so underrated because of the pandemic. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 marks the final installment of the franchise and Gunn's final project at Marvel, as he now heads up DC Studios along with Peter Safran. The film hits theaters May 5th. Good for James Gunn is all I'm going to say. Good for James Gunn. He needed to take a stand. He needed to shut this guy up. Because the fact is that, and I'm in total agreement with him, I understand we have a problem in Hollywood with diversity. I get that. I fully understand that. I mean, there was a whole report done by San Diego State that I read or am reading through, and it tells what ethnicities got speaking roles and, you know, compared to last year and everything else. I get that. Okay. What James Gunn was doing is he was picking the best actor for the role. Okay. And if this had been somebody else, okay, we wouldn't be having this conversation. I'm not racist. I'm not biased. I am completely in the middle. As a matter of fact, okay, I don't have a dog in this fight. I didn't put any money to make Guardians of the Galaxy 3, anything like that, okay? The fact becomes, when you have individuals, this is what spoils movies for everybody. I'm not talking about they're giving plots away. I'm talking about you have people out there that have to complain. Okay, enjoy the movie for what it is. It's hard enough to make these movies as it is. People don't understand this. But for Christ's sakes, cut the guy a break. Okay? I don't understand this. And yes, I'm an average middleman white American. I get that. Okay? But that person that left that comment has no right to say that. Okay? He has no right. Let me rephrase that. Let me backtrack on that comment. He has every right. That's his opinion. That's his choice. What I mean is that I agree with Gunn here. Okay? He chose the best actor for the job. Because at the end of the day, everybody wants to see a good movie. They do. Doesn't matter if it's a horror movie or a romantic comedy or a comic movie. Doesn't matter. They want to see a good movie. They want to see a movie that has a good story. Just because the actor is not of a certain ethnicity does not mean he's not talented. And I get where James Gunn is coming from. And, I mean, look, James Gunn is the most transparent studio head I've ever seen in my life. I think he's going to do a great job, okay? But he's the most transparent I have ever, ever seen in my life, okay? He not only takes to social media to interact with fans. I'm not talking about this particular thing, okay? But he makes regular posts on Twitter, okay? And yes, he does interact with fans. So he's transparent in that. Number two, when you look at it, he really has a very, very tough hill to climb because he's not going to be able to win. Okay? He's trying to do something fresh for these characters like Superman, like Wonder Woman, like Batman. Okay? I don't know. This is how he feels, probably. Throwing his arms up and saying, what do I have to do? And he knows this. He's a very bright guy. What do I have to do to please people? Because if I do one thing over here, I'm not going to please people over here. And if I do this over here, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, he picked the best person for the job. That's all you can do. Because mark my words, if he had picked a actor that wasn't up to the caliber, or they picked an actor that wasn't up to the caliber, and that movie comes out May 5th, and we're talking about how good it was, and the special effects, and you know how emotional it was, but they say, you know what? That villain was not the greatest in the world. Well, why? Because he wasn't that good. Okay? His acting was not that good. Well, so I would just say this, wrapping it up. I would say that I agree with him. I agree with Gunn. However, be a little more gentle. Say, you know what? I understand you don't pick a lot of roles for this. You know, I get it. But I'm willing to take a chance. I'm willing to see. Because mark my words, if this person, and I don't know them from a hole in the wall, if they walk into Guardians of the Galaxy 3 and they have a great time, they're going to come back and say, I had a great time with this movie. And then they look like an idiot. Okay? They look like an absolute moron because guess what? This guy did a great job. What are you complaining about? Okay? So, and look, I'm not going to go off on a tangent here, okay? What I'll say is this. Gunn did the right thing. He said the right thing. He shut the person up. And you got to know there are always people out there like that. You have to. I call them the fringe. You can tell them the sky is blue and they'll think it's green just because that's who they are. They're true believers. You can't convince them. Anything. Okay? So, and by the way, that's not who he's appealing to. he's appealing to the other 95% of people that enjoy comic books, that enjoy comic book movies, that have love for Marvel, you know, or DC in this, you know, that's who he's appealing to. Anyways, that was my little thing. So, but yeah, Gunn is a fantastic executive. I can't wait to see where he goes. I can't wait to see the Superman project, you know, coming down the pipeline many, many next year, possibly. This is going to be fun, fun, fun stuff. Anyway, speaking of fun, now that we're going to transition. So we have a blast coming up for you really this Sunday. I'm not going to be putting on the show, but the Oscars are. And it's all going to be about the Oscars, guys. So what we're going to do is on Saturday, I'm going to have Matthew Anderson on, who is the perennial Oscar predictor. He's a stud when it comes to this stuff. He chose 12 of 14 a couple of years ago. And the two he missed, he was actually on the fence about. He has a whole spreadsheet. He showed me a portion of it. It's amazing. We're going to get him on the show on Saturday. And then we're going to come back right here on the channel, and we are going to do an Oscar wrap-up show. And we're going to talk about exactly who won, did the right person win, who got snubbed, and everything like that. And it's going to be a blast. Coming up later on this month, I know I promised it. I'm going to get two of these out to you guys. We are going to be doing the first reactions, okay? I miss February, so I'm going to be giving you two of these. I'm going to be doing Fargo and then another one. We already have the March perfect movie up for you guys, which was Heat, the Michael Mann film, 1996. Amazing masterpiece. I think it's a perfect film. That's why I chose it for that. And then moving forward, you guys are going to be getting one a month. And then, of course, the summer. The summer is like where it's going to be at, because we have so many great movies coming out. We need to be doing spoiler casts for most, if not all of them. This is the best content you're going to get on the internet that's free. And because it's free, I would please ask you guys, even if you pop in for a minute and look at it, whatever else, please hit that like and subscribe button, because that is the only way this stuff gets out to the masses. I'm trying to do that right now. I want to bring you as much quality content as possible. Not only that, you're going to be getting good interviews, everything else mixed in between. So that's about it for today's show. Do the three things you always need to do. Be safe, be careful, and have a great rest of the day. I'm David Steele, and you have been watching Real Talks. Bye-bye, guys.